me harder.
Hello, everybody. This Turd or Treasure is going to be a little different in that it's going to be sort of a free-form, flowing review because I'm reviewing five titles in this show, all from Film Chest, so there's no need to record separate elements. I'm going to go through them one by one as they're sort of all bundled together in being that they're part of classic television shows. Now, first up, I received Decoy, starring Beverly Garland. Now, this is a 39-episode TV series that for a while was thought lost, and then I guess they found an archive of it, restored it, and put it out. Now, what was important about this show is that it aired from 1957 to 1958, and it was the first television show to shoot on location in New York City. So that means not on a soundstage, it meant they shot outside, first to feature a policewoman in the lead role, and one of the first to tackle real-life subjects, like controversial things that were happening, you know, like domestic violence, that sort of thing. Considering that back in the 50s, most of these shows were still very cut and dry on a set, you know, murder mystery sort of things. And it's quite interesting in that, you know, I had never heard of it until just recently when I saw that it was sort of unearthed and released by Film Chest. So it includes all 39 episodes, as well as a booklet that is a 16-page, they call it libretto, which includes a photo gallery, extended synopsis, trivia, historical information, and individual episode synopsis, and when they aired and so on. Now, this looks pretty good considering the age. A lot of these shows from this time period were sort of off in that they were filmed using, was it Kinescope, I believe it's called, where instead of recording to directly to the film and then releasing it, a lot of them were either aired live or they were broadcast tape where they would broadcast to a television set that then had a camera pointed at it to record. So that's why you see a lot of those public domain releases from companies where they look like crap for different shows. This doesn't have that. This looks pretty clear and clean. It has artifacts that you can expect, but it's not nearly as fuzzy as a lot of TV shows are from this time period, especially ones that you know would you would have thought lost or you know not as popular. Like you're not going to get I Love Lucy quality out of the show here or pretty much any of the other things I'm going to be reviewing, because not every show was as popular as I Love Lucy, and not every show was filmed on 35mm movie camera stock and restored and you know archived for everybody. So nothing's going to be as pristine as that kind of show from that time period, because no other show was ever done that way at the time period. That being said, it's definitely very watchable. The acting's pretty good for the time period, and it's pretty good. It's actually a straightforward thing. It even had some guest stars like Peter Falk, who you'd know as Columbo, in it, and some other people that I've never heard of. Wait, Larry Hagman, I know, but a lot of the other people that guest starred in it were, you know, before my time, let's say. So I would say it's definitely worth checking out because it retails, depending on where you get it, if it's on sale or not, on Amazon. You're looking at the $20 price range, $25. It's definitely worth it if you know you like old TV shows that are, you know, classic from the golden age of television. Or you have a family member that maybe remembers it, it's something you can definitely watch because it's, while a figment of its time in that it's a little dated, like you're not going to expect, you know, Gritty the Wire level of production values out of this, it is something cool to watch. The next set that I received here is a 6-DVD collector set for Betty White with Life with Elizabeth and Date with the Angels. Now, it's got 41 episodes. It's not a complete series of each. It's just a collection of episodes for both. And these are about on par with some of the better releases of public domain stuff, because a lot of her stuff for these shows are in the public domain, and people have released them before to varying degrees of quality. And this is actually one of the upper-end ones. So if you're going to get it, this is the set to probably get for either of these shows. Now, for a description of Life with Elizabeth, it aired from 53 to 55. Betty White starred as Elizabeth, and Del Moore as her husband. It was sort of ahead of its time in that she was the first time that she got an Emmy nomination and award for the series. And it's just your standard sort of family sitcom that was just sort of the standard at the time. Nothing really special to write home about except that it's one of Betty White's first performances and first leading roles in TV. Now, Date with the Angels aired from 57 to 58. It revolved around Los Angeles newlyweds and her insurance. Basically, Vicky, she plays. It's if I'm rambling, it's only because I'm trying to recall everything from this, because these shows kind of blurred together a little bit. It revolved around Betty White and her husband, who get into various comedic, you know, hijinks and antics. It's your, again, also your standard sort of sitcom from the 50s. Very watchable if you like, you know, like the old Leave It to Beaver, I Love Lucy sort of stuff. It's definitely worth checking out. This is a pretty cheap set, again, about 15, 20 bucks. This is something I ended up, you know, watching a lot of it with my grandmother, who, you know, she's in her mid-80s, so she remembers seeing this stuff when it was first on. She first moved to Canada. And so, you know, she learned English from watching TV shows like this. So it's always fun to watch and talk to her about them, and it brings back memories of that time period. So that's something that you can watch, you know, again, if you have a grandparent that's still around, it's something fun to watch with them. Next up is Federal Men, which is a three-disc set I received, which includes 16 episodes from the 1950 show. Now, this is sort of all over the place. The show ran from 1950 to 55. Most of these are from the final season in 55, and then they sort of jump around. I think there might be one or two that are out there. It's actually hard to track down what order these are, but these were the kind of shows that you didn't need to have a continuity going, so you can watch any random episodes. Now, it includes an episode list on the back of the box, as well as, you know, when you pop in the disc, it gives you a little more information on what you're watching in chapters. This holds up pretty well as far as the visual quality of it. I have never seen another set of this out anywhere else. It might have been released by somebody else in a bargain bin somewhere, but it wouldn't be up to the same quality standards that Film Chest have released this on. So it's definitely worth checking out if you like, you know, crime investigation shows, especially archival ones from the 1950s. Again, another cool one for the family to watch. Now, the next release here that I have is The Adventures of Champion, The Wonder Horse, 23 episodes. Now, this is a Film Chest restored version that has notifications on the front about that they restored it from 16mm original archival prints. Now, it doesn't mean it's from the original negative, it just means it's from one of the original prints they would have had and stored away. So this looks pretty good. You know, this isn't a full, 4K remastering. You know, they're not giving it the Star Trek treatment where they're spending millions of dollars or anything. But you can see that they've done work to remove some of the dirt debris and some of the artifacts you see on the screen. And overall, it comes in pretty clear. There are scenes in this show that are pretty fuzzy. Certain areas aren't as good as others. But for the most part, it's actually a pretty clean picture. So it's a show about a horse. Surprise, surprise. There were a lot of shows about horses back in the 50s and 60s. So The Adventures of Champion ran for one season on CBS from 55 to 56. A total of 26 half-hour episodes were produced. Now, this set only has 23. I'm assuming the rest are either lost or they didn't have the rights to for whatever reason. But this has most of the show included in the set. It includes many cool landscape shots showing off everything that's going on. It's a pretty standard family show, about a boy and his connection to the horse. Just a nice family show. You know, the champ only allows his friend Ricky, which is the boy, to ride him bareback. The German shepherd of the family, Rebel, helps the two pals survive their weekly adventures. Your standard sort of stuff. Think Lassie, but with a horse instead. So it's definitely a cool release that I've never seen before. And again, was another one that I watched with my family, and we had a generally good time watching it. Now, the final DVD set in this Film Chest release pack that I'm doing here is a 2-DVD animated television show set, including 26 episodes of classic 70s Saturday morning TV, The Barkleys and the Hound Cats. Now, I had never heard of these shows before, and it was something that, I'm trying to describe it, the shows have that look and feel of the old Filmation shows, but better animation than the Filmation shows. So if you can consider, you know, 70s animation. So here's the description. The Barkleys, it ran for 13 half-hour episodes. It was telecast on NBC From 72 through spring of maybe fall of 73 with some breaks in between. The main characters was voiced by Fred Flintstone's voice actor, Henry Corden, as well as a few other standard voice actors from the time period. Basically, people you'd see showing up in everything. Now, the Houndcats also ran for 13 half-hour episodes, but it ran on ABC from 72 to 73. So, looks like they were produced together, but very different. So, the Barkleys is about a family, think All in the Family, sort of. That's the feel you get from the show. The father doesn't like hippies, doesn't... It's just sort of take the All in the Family concept and make them a family of dogs, and then whatever hijinks they get into. Standard slapstick stuff. Now, the Houndcats, same sort of deal. It's a bunch of cats and dogs. Well, it's sort of... There's some dogs, there's some cats. They're all sort of together, and the hijinks they get into when they're either solving crimes or just bumbling around. It's, again, standard 70s stuff. Now, the print on this isn't the greatest. It looks like it was taken from, not from the film, probably from like a Betamax master tape that they would have used for broadcast. And it's been cleaned up a little bit, but the colors are a little off. Definitely watchable. It's going to be better than anything if you try to track down, you know, people used to, you know, put up VHS quality copies onto the internet. It's definitely better than that. It is full DVD quality. It's just not as clean and pristine as you might expect some of the, you know, restored Hanna-Barbera cartoons or anything from the time period. But it was definitely watchable, and I ended up watching both shows over the course of one day because it wasn't that long. It's several hours, but it's one of those things where I had it on and was able to get the gist of it going through most of the episodes of each show. And it's something at about a $20 price point. If you are a collector of animation, you love 70s shows, it's something definitely to pick up because it was pretty fun. And out of all the shows in the set that I received, it's actually my favorite DVD release. So I would say pick up each one of these titles for different reasons for different people. I would say the Barkleys and Houndcats is probably the one I can recommend most to pretty much everybody. As long as you like cartoons, you're going to probably like it. So those are five releases from Film Chest. Moving right along, we now have some quick reviews to go over. First up is Yakuza Kiwami 2. Now, why is this a quickie review? Well, this is a remake of Yakuza 2. So I'm not going to go into details on the story and plot because that is largely not changed at all. This is a review of if it received a good upgrade onto the PS4, seeing as we're jumping a whole generation. Now, visually, this is significantly better looking than what was on the PS2 in that the game clocks in at over 40 gigs when you download, and most of that will be textures and video, and it's noticeable. It is a pretty striking game. Think, what would Grand Theft Auto look like if you were a Yakuza in Japan in the 80s and 90s and so on? That's pretty much what this is. So this game picks up right where Kiwami 1 took off about a year later or so, and it's definitely a cool immersive game. Now, it is lacking some of the previous games' mini games where you could get very involved and go off the beaten path and play mini games. It does have some, but not the same extent. The combat system is pretty good, very responsive and intuitive, and I really enjoyed playing through that. Now, the music is also top-notch, and the sound direction design is great. Overall, this is definitely a really good game to check out. Big upgrade over the original title, while keeping in line with how it should look and feel. It wasn't a drastic change to gameplay, just enough tweaking to make it feel good, especially on the PS4. So check out Yakuza Kiwami 2, brought to you by Sega. God Wars the Complete Legend comes to us from NIS America, and it is a enhanced port of the PS4 and Vita title of God Wars that came out earlier, including a bunch more content and well over 100 hours of gameplay. This is a very large tactical game, And it's something that plays almost better in my mind on the Switch than it did on the PS4. It was meant for portable, hence why the Vita got a copy of it as well. Now, this would be, I would say, the definitive version to get, in that the Switch is more powerful than the Vita, and it just feels better on the screen. I played it on the PS4 as well, and I found that the Switch version is better. Now, is it a great game? It's not the best tactical RPG you're going to play. It's sort of middle of the road. The visuals are fine for the screen that you're playing it on. It's not necessarily great on the big screen. It's probably better suited to playing it portable, which is perfect because you're going to play a mission. You can save when you're on the go. The music and everything is sort of middle of the road. Everything about this game is, you know, we don't give a rating system, but it would be, you know, passable, entertaining. It's not going to blow you away. I'm not going to go into much more detail on this because this is a game that had already been out for quite some time beforehand, and this is just an enhanced port. I would say definitely pick it up if you are a fan of the tactical RPG genre and you want to have something you can play with you on the go on with the Switch, as there's not a whole lot of other RPGs in this style on the Switch just yet. So I would say if you're not that huge into tactical games, this is probably isn't the one for you. This isn't going to be the one that, you know, makes you go, oh my god, I have to start playing all these types of games over and over and over again from now on. So I would say it's a rent it, you know, there isn't rentals anymore, it's a try it before you buy it sort of thing. But if it's your thing, this is something you're going to like. Now I'm going to finish the show. It's sort of an abridged show in that we've still got a lot of reviews on the go. So what is coming up and what have I been doing? Now, what's coming up is Dodd and I have a joint review of Fire Pro Wrestling World and the PS4 to come out. Now, we would have had this ready for this show or Twig last week, but before the game launched, not all the features were available for review, so we were going to have to either postpone the review or not give it necessarily the full credit it was due, because one of the main features of the game on PC had been that you could download pre-made characters that other people made. So what did that mean? Well, the game comes with the Fire Pro, whatever wrestlers they created, which are some sort of generic characters. In past games, they had been sort of spoofs of real wrestlers. Well, it has that roster. It also includes a New Japan Pro Wrestling roster, so it has a lot of them. Not everybody. Some of them are going to be DLC, like Tanahashi's coming out soon. So for anybody that's a hardcore wrestling fan, you'll know some of the people in there, like Okada, and, you know, Naito and some of the other people. So that's all cool, but what if you want Hulk Hogan? The game has such a huge generator that you can use in there to make people look the way you want, but it takes forever to do so, that you could, you know, make your own wrestlers, give them, you know, they're not unofficial, so they're not going to be, you know, it's not sponsored by WWE or by Impact Wrestling or anybody else, but you could make your own custom characters. Well, on the PC, you could get that. Now, that feature wasn't in the review copy we received, although now that the game has launched as of this past week, they did offer a thing saying that they downloaded a patch onto your system that allows you to do that. Now, that wasn't even said that it was going to be a feature, so that's actually pretty cool. So I've gone in and sort of playing around with it. It's not the most intuitive system, but I'm going to go over that with Dodd so we can see about getting some of these people like Stone Cold Steve Austin and that into the game and see how that changes the experience. So that review should be coming up in the next week or so, because we wanted to make sure that we had took a thorough look at the game. We've also got a bunch of other reviews coming from Film Chest. I've got about 4 or 5 movies that are on the go. As well as more from Vinegar Syndrome, we've got more Twig After Dark with the 70s erotica films coming. It just takes some time to actually sit down with the crew, watch them, critique it, talk about it, record it, release it. So that's all sort of rolling through. As far as other games go that are coming, I have Little Dragon Cafe on the go. and potentially a few more coming. Can't say for sure on the horizon. I know Dodd has a few reviews on the go from Arrow Films. We've got the House and House 2 reviews that he's reviewing. I'm not sure which platforms they're going to be moving on to. It might be on the Twig main show or not. We've also got some stuff in the works coming down the pipeline. So potentially have some maybe anime to review. Working on some logistical issues with one of the companies that I was dealing with. Really, really good people, but I think a package was lost, and they confirmed that it was lost by the courier on their end, so I never received it. So it's something that we've been waiting on for a couple months, actually. So now they're rushing it out to me. So there's that sort of, that's a hardware thing coming. And I can't say more because they said they're going to be including some extras in there for the lost time. So there's going to be some extra stuff to review. Now, I've also, this past summer, you know, what was I getting into? I was playing video games that were not on my review list, just extra stuff in my own time. And I've been trying to get through Skyrim. I'm hating it so much. This has been the summer of fail. Dodd hasn't been able to get through his because of whatever, you know, block he has, or he doesn't like the games. I've had issues. So what did I end up doing? Well, I got obsessed with anime in the last couple weeks. Now, I have gone through phases like that in the past, but I watched a lot. Like, we're talking 200 episodes in the span of several days where I had time, just where I really had time to sit down and just blast through stuff. When you don't have to watch the intro and you can skip the outro and you can just watch the you know, the 18 minutes or so of every episode, or 17 minutes, whatever it is, in succession, you can get through a lot in a day if you're sitting there even doing work and just glancing up at it. So I have found a few series that I got really, really into. One, mostly Funimation stuff, one being the My Hero Academia. I'd heard about it for a while, sat down, watched two episodes with my roommate, and then went, oh no, now I'm going to have to watch everything. So I ended up watching all of season one, which is 13 episodes, all of season two, which is 26 episodes, and all that's aired so far of season three, which is like 17 or 18 episodes. So, and that's all. I prefer to watch things dubbed if I can. If, as long as the dub is a good dub, it's worth watching. Dodd, Birdman, I went over to his place and he goes, "Watch this with an open mind, and I promise you it's not porn." So we ended up watching, was it High School DxD, which is what I call booby magic show, something. It's a weird show with magic and demons and boobs, and it's, he's right, it's not porn. It's actually pretty funny. It might be one of the best dubs I've ever heard. So he watched, I think, I probably watched like 10, maybe 10 episodes of it on his own, and I went back to my place and then watched all four seasons that have aired. So I'm way ahead of him now. And then I ended up watching Black Clover, which is the other Funimation Shonen Jump show other than My Hero Academia to come out. Well, there's 43 or 44 episodes, and I blasted through that in a weekend. And that show is just fantastic. It's like, My Hero Academia is what if The Incredibles had a mix with Sky High, the movie, and was very inventive and creative. Very fun. Super fun. I actually wanted to go into more detail about it on another show. We might even have to do an anime show on this because I'm getting super into this stuff. Then contrast that with Black Clover, which is what if Harry Potter was mixed with Dragon Ball Z. That's the feeling you get from the show. So it's, you know, about a boy who's born into a world where everybody has magic and he doesn't, so he trains his body to be super strong. Well, it still doesn't mean anything. He just happens to get when he does get magic, it's not actually magic. He gets a sword that can negate magic power. So he's like an anti-magic. And it's pretty, pretty cool. And I know that the show in Japan is 51 episodes long for the season, and they're on episode 48. We're about four episodes behind here in the dub, and I want to watch more, and I can't. Like, oh, it's bugging me that I caught up so quickly that now I have to wait every week. It airs on Sunday. Saturdays is My Hero Academia. So those are really cool. What else did I catch up on? Roommate has a bunch of, he's an anime nut, he has a bunch of Blu-rays, and I sat through and watched Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Now, I had never gotten into that hype. Full Metal Alchemist, the first series, was airing, I think, when I was in high school. Maybe grade 11, grade 12, and it was all the rage, and I never got into it. He told me this, that how that version of the show ran into the syndrome where the manga hadn't finished, so they had to make their own ending, and it involved Nazis and stuff, and whatever. It was okay, but not great. So he said, just watch Brotherhood, which is the faithful adaptation of the manga. So it's alternate history. We're in, I think, World War I era, because there's cars, but they're not fast, and there's electricity and phones and radio, but nothing else. And people have magical powers, but it's alchemy powers. Pretty cool. If you like the concept of alchemy, where it's equal exchange, you have to exchange a certain amount of matter to create other matter, blah, blah, blah. Pretty sweet. It's a dark show. It's so fucking dark. Like the third or second or third episode in, and they're the two alchemist boys are playing with a girl, and she's like 2 or 3 years old, and they're having fun at her place. They come back the next day, and her father, who's gone crazy, has merged her with her family dog as a chimera, who just sits there and just asks them, is it time to play? Can we play now? And then somebody finds them and murders the father and the chimera girl dog hybrid, and it's just depressing as all hell. So it's super duper dark, and it's clearly supposed to be Germany, the way everything's designed. And then they have, you know, country to the far east, which is China, which they call Jing. And it's just it's a really cool show, and I'm surprised I never got into it when it was on initially, but I'm glad I was able to catch it all in one big swoop and watch the Blu-ray sets that he had. So it's almost inspiring as far as writing or getting campaigns written in your head for RPG gaming and all the tabletop gaming that we're doing. So it's something that for me to keep in mind. It's definitely one of the best ones I've seen in a while. And I had a hard time sleeping after the show ended, not because of that beginning episode. Just as a whole, the concept of the show is pretty messed up and kind of sad, but not really depressing, just sort of very real as an anime could be. And other than that, I've been watching I watched some weird harem anime. Those ones are, I don't understand that concept. I mean, I do, because I laugh at it. I was laughing at how ridiculous the dialogue is, but I know it's a different cultural thing, and it's like your country can be very repressed, or you're very reserved and you don't express a lot of things, so you express a lot of things through your animation, through your media more. Like a lot of the dialogue and all the things that high school kids do and say in these Japanese shows is either blown out of proportion compared to what we do, or it's not something we would ever do or say because we would be more direct and forward. So it's interesting to watch, and they can have some pretty funny dialogue, but I can't remember what it was. It was something when I was watching it on the streaming channel. But I've been watching with my roommate. I watched the remake of the 1970s Space Battleship Yamato, known here as Star Blazers. There was a remake of it on Funimation of the first season. We watched that all as it was airing this past January or so. And I didn't realize that the second season is out, or 13 episodes of it, of the movie version they've cut up. I don't know how they're doing it, but it's very good dub. And it's a very entertaining space show. It's basically the closest I'm going to get to like a Star Trek or a Battle, or a sort of Babylon 5 / Battlestar Galactica type show in space. And it's something that I wish we had here. Like when I say wish we had here, I mean, I wish it was a live action show. That's what we're sorely missing here. We're missing the space opera adventure show. And then the other one I might want to get into is Legend of the Galactic Heroes, which I remember seeing as a kid, that 100 and some odd episode show. I remember seeing a early dub of it when I was like 7 or 8. It used to air late at night on one of the channels I got. And I had no idea what was happening, except it was giant spaceships blowing things up with giant anime crescent moons. So I was happy. Now, from what I can tell, Sentai Filmworks is putting out a $800 set that has that original show on it. But it doesn't have the English dub. I don't know why. Maybe they don't have the rights to it. So it's hard to track down that original thing, and I am not a subtitle guy unless there's no English dub available. Then I'll watch it. If there's an English dub, and this one I know wouldn't be a great dub, but it's one that I remember as a kid, so it wouldn't bother me. But there's a remake of that show coming out now that Funimation's dubbing, so I might want to check that out too. And I did check out, signed up for a service called HiDive, which is an alternative to Crunchyroll and Funimation, but it's only $5 a month American, so I got a week to try it out. There's some stuff they have that's a dub, some stuff that's simulcast from Japan, so it'll be pretty cool to check out. And outside of that, there's not much I've been doing other than getting some reviews prepped. That's what I'm remembering. The other review that I'm trying to prep now is for The Outer Limits, the original 60s show, season one on Blu-ray. I'm going through that. I'm trying to do, I might even do a show or a series of shows on anthology shows, which is sort of my favorite stuff growing up as a kid, was watching like Twilight Zone, that sort of thing. Gonna have to go over that with Dodd. So I'm just sort of rambling now, but that's what's up with me and what's going to be coming up in the future, and probably more anime. And as we enter the fall, we're going to be recording more stuff. So the show might be more than just a monthly thing as far as this roundup of all the reviews, but there's more stuff to come. This weekend we're recording Twig. I know Dodd wants to record some stuff for Shadowrun with me. I guess get my character created for that. And there's a bunch more stuff coming up on the horizon, so you're just going to have to check that out. So I guess until the next show, I'm going to sign off and probably edit this and then go to bed. Hurry, bye, people.
Okay, son, now you're starting to scare the viewers.
Just act normal.
I'd ask you to do the same, but I'm afraid that ship has sailed.
Why are there so many ostriches?
But you have a game that is dipped in the
Ha ha! Ropey, thick, window cocking.
So guys, we'll be right back right here on This Week in Geek, only on thisweekingeek.net and many other sites where I syndicate this crap, because I'm a media slut.
I like turtles.
Loose like your mom.
That's right.
No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to?
Me lucky tater tots.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content, and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at thisweekingeek. And check out our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. And if you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Just kidding. Psych. Totally kidding, huh?
Good one, gay robot.
I have a dry sense of humor and a muddy bottom.